Even now I think about it and it's like, I want to go right now. I'll be laying in my bed at night and I'm thinking, okay, I get to go get up in the morning and soak, you know. It just sounds funny, but and so I'm laying in bed and I just, there's joy. There's joy when you think about that. So, because there's just so much that God does. One time I was soaking. Wow, I haven't told anybody this. But I was laying prostrate, and this was several years ago after I had gone through a really hard time in my life, okay? Pretty much thinking I was a failure. And I was laying prostrate, and I was worshiping. And I had my eyes shut, and I could hear. I don't know if you've ever heard anything as you're praying, okay? I'm not being weird. I just was laying there, and it was like I could hear, you know, like the lightsaber. Okay. Well, it was kind of like that noise, but I knew something was above me flapping the wings like this. I just don't know how to say it, except that's what I experienced. Didn't dare open my eyes. I just wanted to stay there. And I was like, and I said, I spoke and I said, "Who are you?" That's what I said. And what are the ones that are hovering over the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant?
Seraphim.
Said, I'm a seraphim. And I said, "Well, what are you doing?" And, oh my goodness. I hover over holy things. That's what he said to me when I was walking out of a failure in my life. And I thought I was garbage. And God said I was holy. That was in a soaking time. All right? So that's what I'm talking about. I don't know what would have happened if someone would have walked in my room. Would they have seen the seraphim? I don't know. But I sure felt and experienced it. And I heard. Okay? So, not to say that's what God's going to do with you or not. But it's just in those times when we allow ourselves the time to work that relationship with God. It just gets more beautiful. And it's intoxicating. That's all I gotta say. So, okay. Relationships need to be built. They need to be built inward, outward, and upward. Okay? So let's look at inward. Are there areas in your life that you need to allow God to heal and transform? To offer a healthy relationship to others, we have to be healthy inside. You know, let's take the time then. If you have some areas in your life that you keep on struggling over, take time with Jesus. Let him heal you. He's not going to change you into something you don't want to be. He's going to change you and enhance you and make you into something even better. Okay? So what does your past look like? Do you have issues within yourself that would hinder you from getting closer to other people? Maybe you've not even noticed these areas in your life, and we've talked about that. Let's take the time to ask God to show us possible areas in our lives that we need to hand over to him. Healthy people make healthy relationships, so let's get healthy, okay? Okay, so that's the inward. Outward, I like this verse. Matthew 22:39 says, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." As we allow God's love to flow in us, we start loving ourselves with his love. We start seeing how God sees us. Beautiful. Reborn. We're new. I love that verse about being a new creation, and I like how the Amplified Bible says it. It says, "The fresh and the new has come." You're fresh and new. Okay? The old has passed away. The fresh and new has come. When we start loving ourselves, we can love others like we love ourselves. And this is how I look at it too. Because there are people in life that it's hard to love them. There are. Okay? Maybe they need to be soaking for a while. They need pickled. I don't want you naming names here, all right?
Just don't drown them.
Well, true, true. But this is how I see it. Okay,
This is how I see it.
God pours his love into me, right? And then I'm just like a funnel, and I can pour that love out to other people. That's the love I can love people with. Because my love, your love, human love only goes so far. But God's love transcends and goes on forever. His mercy and love endures forever, right? So as I receive his love, as you receive God's love, you realize you are lovely, and he loves you, and he has a plan for your life, and he wants to use you, and he just wants you to have life more abundantly in this world today. Oftentimes it has to do with right here. So we allow God's love to come in, and we receive, and we love on him, okay? And then it's so easy to love people with the love that he's given us. It's good stuff. Okay, do you love yourself? There might be a reason why you don't love yourself. You might have been told all your life you will not amount to anything. You might have felt you were nothing. But when God's love flows in you and through you, you can't help but see yourself how God sees you. You will see yourself completely whole. Because God doesn't create junk, and he doesn't do what he does, a work in your life, a healing in your life is complete. It's not lacking anything, okay? And so you're completely whole, completely accepted and loved, completely forgiven. Allow God's love to flow in you to love others. Now, anyone who loves a relationship more than me, God says, is not worthy of me. And so this is Matthew 10:35. So we got the love in us. We're understanding that. But now God's saying, okay, just know this. The person who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The person who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Is that selfish? What do you think of that scripture?
We serve a jealous God.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows what's best for us if we're focusing on him, not all the people in our lives. Life goes easier and smoother and healthier.
Mm-hmm. So. Making him the priority. Right? So, you know, we don't want to end up having a relationship that's emotional dependent. We don't want a relationship that we're so dependent on that person for happiness instead of him. Right? Because then they become an idol and we're not worshiping God. That person or that relationship becomes an idol. So we need to control jealousy. You may want your best friend to be faithful to you, which means you experience jealousy if they have other close relationships. Learn to appreciate that love for friends, like love for one's children can be limitless. Let me read that again. Learn to appreciate that love for friends, like love for one's children can be limitless. Give your friends freedom to have other friends. Okay, so this is like pendulum swing way over here. First, we have the pendulum swing way over here. I'm going to isolate myself and do nothing that has to do with people. But then we also have it so we can pendulum swing all the way over here, right? And then we are totally obsessed with somebody. And we get upset. Yes, we control it, okay? So God wants to have this balance. Why do I put that in the middle of this? Because it's all about healthy relationships, right? Okay. So if you have a relationship that is like that, if you feel like if that person was, I'm not talking about your spouse, but although you can be emotionally dependent on that, on them too, did you know that? But I'm talking about someone else in your life that has even taken the place of your spouse. You know, you end up so consumed with them that if you don't talk to them that day, if you don't see them that day, if you don't have time with them that day, then you have a bad day. You ever experienced that? Don't raise your hand. But you know what I'm saying. Okay. Give your friends freedom to have other friends. This keeps your friendship healthy. If you try and control the other person from having other friends, it is a sign that you are emotionally dependent on that person. The only one we should be dependent on is our Lord Jesus Christ. If we ever put others in the place of where Christ should be, again, they are an idol. Keep perspective on your friendships. Keep God first in all areas of your life. But you don't understand, Pastor Chris, this person is right here. I can touch him. And I can't touch God. Yes, you can. But you know what I'm saying? But it's like the flesh. And they're there. And I can count on them. And I can call them.
They will fail you, but God will not fail you.
Say that louder.
Amen. They will fail you, but God will not fail you.
Mm-hmm. And then there you are. High expectations on somebody. So I say all this because this society, and I'm going to say it, okay, this society has accepted homosexuality. Okay? But that's not what my Bible says. And I'm not saying to condemn. I'm not condemning. I'm just saying, look at your relationships. And this is all part of my notes, okay? So I didn't know who was going to be here tonight. But just look at your relationships. And to me, I think that's the biggest tool of the enemy, especially when it comes to homosexuality, is to, you get this best friend, guys, girls, whatever, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's something in that relationship that you like, or you wouldn't be there, okay? And then it just all of a sudden gets unhealthy, and then you just feel like you can't even breathe without them around, without them being in your life or around. Have you ever experienced that? Just think about your life. You don't have to raise your hand. So, a lot of homosexual relationships happen that way. And I think that's one of the biggest tools that the enemy uses. Okay? So I'm just putting that out there. I wouldn't be your pastor and I wouldn't be a friend if I didn't say to be wise to that, okay? All right. So keep your perspective. Put God first always. Okay? And with that friendship, if you have to hide what you're doing, then it's wrong. So, just think of those things, okay? Okay. Now upward. Let's look at ourselves and search our friendship with God. If our vertical relationships is on track, our horizontal relationships will fall into place. Right? Get the vertical going. That means everything here will be healthy. But if the vertical is, then that's really the number one priority, is a mess, everything's going to be a mess. It really is. So let's, I mean, unless you're even, I'm going to be a hermit. I'm not going to be with people. No. Then that's even worse off, right? So let's get the horizontal going good. Do you feel far away from God? Have you made an attempt to become closer to Christ? Remember, as you decrease, God can increase in you. And laying down your will and saying, not my will, but yours, Lord, will free you to become closer to Christ. This lets God's love flow in you and fill you. Will God push his way in your life? Well, maybe I should rephrase it. You know, God, he didn't make us a bunch of robots, right? Okay. He made it so each one of us has free will to choose him, okay? And so that's what he wants. He wants us to choose him. He doesn't want to force us to have a relationship with him. And so that's when we say, not my will, God. That's when we're choosing God. Okay, not my will. I give you this. I give you my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. I've struggled. I've made a mess, as you can see. So I just give you my life. Some of us need to be knocked upside the head. Well, if that's you... Read Hebrews chapter 12. That's what he said. Okay. And this lets God's love flow in you. Okay. Be flooded with God's love. Let it out pour from heaven into you. But don't be a dam. No, be a funnel and let his love flow in through you and out to others. Loving God totally with all your heart will enable you to love others. And we talked about that. Don't look at a possible new relationship for what you can get from it. But look at it as an avenue to share more of God's love. This is how I look at it too. It's like God created that person. I want to get to know him. You know, there's a reason why. He knows everything about him. He knows when they stand, when they sit. Where can that person go without God's presence or without God knowing? That person is so important to him. And so we just need to get to know his creation, right?
Yes.
Simplicity and love are the main ingredients to a healthy relationship. You see, love casts out all fear. When someone thinks you love them, even before knowing them, there is no fear and the boundaries are all gone. When you are in love, you'll do anything. Okay? Our outward relationships are a direct outcome of our upper relationship with God. And we talked, daily bring yourself before the Lord and give yourself fresh and new to Him. You know, this is, I do it every day. It's like, Lord, I just ask you to forgive me for anything that I've done. I'm not perfect. What's our mission statement here? Where the imperfect are
perfectly welcome.
Yeah. Where the imperfect are perfectly welcome. So I'm not perfect, and I know it. And so it's just like there's things you don't even know that we're doing, and God will show us that maybe isn't pleasing His heart. Something, the Bible calls it transgression, iniquity, sin, you know, those type of things. But it's just like, Lord, is there anything in me? I just ask your forgiveness. I ask you to wash and cleanse me today. It's like walking into the Holy of Holies when I'm getting ready to soak. You know, Lord, I just ask you just to cleanse me. Just to forgive me. Maybe I thought something, my attitude, maybe I spoke something yesterday, as this is like the next morning, you know. Just ask you to forgive me. Bring it to my remembrance so I won't do it again. And God, I thank you that you wash and cleanse me. And then it goes from the outer court to the inner court. You ever done a study on that? That's pretty cool stuff too. But you just get to go into the Holy of Holies with Him when you in your prayer time. I'm going to say it again. Our outward relationships are a direct outcome of our upward relationship with God. Daily bring yourself before the Lord and give yourself fresh and new to Him. Have a heart that says yes to God. Have a heart that says, whatever you want me to do, God, I will do. We need to ask God to forgive us of our complacency towards others and their needs. We need to decrease that, and that includes our needs and what we think should happen. It is not about us, but God and what He wants. His agenda is people, and that should be our agenda. Okay, I just want to skip and go right to some steps of reconciliation, and then we'll be done, okay? Because it's already getting to be 8:30. So just bear with me as I slip through these steps. Okay. Pretty good stuff, huh?
I got it all.
Yeah. All right. I wrote this out when I was getting ready to speak at a women's event, and we were supposed to talk. It was bringing the daughters. I can't remember the exact title. It was about daughters coming to their father. That was the theme. And I can't remember the exact wording. And so, you know, sometimes we need reconciliation in our relationships. Maybe with our fathers, maybe with our mothers, maybe with our friends. And we can get trapped and feel like this relationship is broken. And then what do, right? There's some relationships that I have found, and it breaks my heart, that it just seems like you try and try and the reconciliation doesn't happen. But at least you can try and do your part to be able to bring some kind of reconciliation. And I gave my testimony at this event about my dad, and remember I told you that whole story about my mom and dad being divorced when I was 2 and never seeing my dad, and then later on in life, after my mom passed away, his wife passed away, and God told me to go get my dad from California and then bring him to Spokane and take care of him. And little did I know, he had terminal lung cancer at the time. But we brought this reconciliation. And so some of these steps are things that I went through that I have learned, and I pray that they help you too. So these are steps to reconciliation. First of all, we need to accept the situation. If you're having a hard time in a relationship, just, and it is a hard time, just go, okay, it is what it is right now, right? So you just need to accept it. Don't try to figure out what happened or rehash what happened. Don't try to ignore it either, or it will get bigger. Accept it and deal with it. You can't deal with anything you don't confront. So acceptance is really the first step towards your healing. If you didn't accept it, then you will never deal with it. So in other words, if you didn't accept it, if you don't accept what's going on, then in other words, you're in denial or it's not happening, then there's no way for you to be able to get healing because you are ignoring it. Does that make sense? So God wants us to actually take these times in our life to be able to look soberly at situations and relationships. And what is our part? Okay? Number two, be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And I'll try to go pretty quick here. What is He asking you to do? Sometimes God asks us to do things that might go against our flesh. And was it two Sundays ago we were talking about flesh and what that means? And what the original Hebrew and Greek said and all of that. But the bottom line is, it's what I desire, my will, what I want to have happen, and I make it happen. Okay? So my flesh, your flesh, will scream to have its way. Scripture says we're supposed to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Okay? A.W. Tozer says it this way. He says that it's like pulling or extracting a tooth from the jaw as we're dealing with our flesh. Okay? So, in other words, I don't want to go talk to that person. It's their fault, right? They're the one that said it. They're the one that did it. That's the flesh. And the Holy Spirit's saying, the Holy Spirit's pricking your heart and saying, humble yourself and go talk. And there's times when I think, okay, I'm going to go talk to him and I'm just going to tell him how I feel. No, that's the flesh, right? They don't need to know. Especially if you want to try to bring reconciliation, to obey the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. So as A.W. Tozer said, it's like, don't let self-pity, oh, yeah, you're right, you don't need to do that. There's the self-pity, right? And then the flesh wins, and then the whole situation is there, or maybe even bigger. Okay, so if the Holy Spirit's pricking you, not only in a reconciliation situation, but even in your life, and the Holy Spirit's pricking you to do something, don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Some people say it's your conscience. You know what? I believe the Holy Spirit speaks. You'll end up hearing, you need to go talk to that person, or you need to go to your, you need to fix it right on your taxes. Right? Or you know what the Holy Spirit says. So there, that, and that's not the flesh. The flesh would never say that, would it? Okay. All right. So we need to die to the flesh. Romans 8, 1, 4 through 5. I'll just read it really quick. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh. I'm sorry. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So that's what it's talking about, walking in the Spirit, not after the flesh. Here's another one. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. This is a whole sermon in itself. I'm just lightly touching these things, okay? Okay, so you're supposed to listen to the Holy Spirit, obey the Holy Spirit. Three, accept the blame in steps of reconciliation. Everyone has a part. Even if it was you were at the wrong place at the wrong time, you still have a part. And I'm not going to say, I'm sorry, it's my fault. I mean, I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Everything else, it's your fault. Okay, that wouldn't go over too well, would it? But everybody has a part. Don't be so arrogant to think you don't have a part in a bad situation. Accepting any blame of your part will show that you are mature enough to handle what you have done wrong. It will show that you are not selfish or self-centered, and it will also show that you are willing to work to reconciliation. Okay? So, accept the blame. And then here's the big one. Ask forgiveness. Asking forgiveness is taking the higher road. It is accepting your part of the situation by asking forgiveness. It makes the walls go down in the heart of the receiver. Think about it. What does it really cost you to ask forgiveness and mean it than to have a relationship destroyed because your flesh decides to not ask forgiveness? All because your flesh and your pride, you want to have your way and you think you're right. Now you just, this whole relationship was destroyed over your flesh and your pride. It's not worth it. What's the number one priority for God? People. That should be our priority too.
How are we to be forgiven if we're not forgiven?
How are we to be forgiven if we're not forgiven? So pride comes in so many different packages. Refuse to unpack the package of pride and walk humbly. This pleases God, and it also speaks about your character. Okay? 5, ask questions. Sometimes bad relationships happen because of judging too quickly. And especially before you know the facts. Ask what happened from the viewpoint of the other person. This is hard. Because you think you're right, so you don't even need to listen to them, right? Okay. Listen to all that they say before you speak. If you speak while the other person is talking, even if what they are saying is not true, you may think you hear what they are saying and act upon it, when what they really said is something totally different. Have you ever done that? You're talking to somebody and all of a sudden they start talking and you're finishing your sentence, which was the very important part of the end of the sentence, and they missed it. And then they're talking and then they totally misunderstood what you said. It's happened several times in my life. I don't know if it's happened in your life. And it's caused, especially one friendship just went so sour right away. And I'm like, what happened? It's because they weren't listening. And I was trying to explain something. And it just went sour because they didn't hear. Never assume. Asking questions will clear up any misunderstandings. Oftentimes, after you ask questions, you end up finding out what you thought happened or was said really didn't happen at all. Knowledge is power, right? When we ask questions. 6, try to see the situation from the other person's point of view. This is coming from my almost 17-year-old. Well, Mom, I always try to see the other, you know, when we're talking about how to get rid of a grudge, remember talking about that in disappointments? She goes, Mom, I always try to see the situation. When I get a grudge, I try to see the point of view of the other person. Because if we just look at our own point of view, it's selfish. Two sides to every coin. My husband and I can look at the same thing that happens. He'll have his perspective, I'll have mine, and we watch the same thing, right? So everybody's different. Seeing the situation from the other person's point of view allows you to give mercy and grace. It allows understanding. Did you know we're born selfish? We are. What is the first thing a baby says? We've talked about this. Mine. No. You have to teach a baby how to share, don't you? So we're selfish by nature. So these are things that we have to force ourselves, get past the flesh, and look at the other person's point of view. Okay? All right, 7. Show love and kindness. Kindness goes a long way. People respond positively to kindness. Soft answer turns away wrath, right? You will win people over with kindness. Love and kindness always go together. Love and kindness is the opposite of selfishness. Jesus was motivated by love and kindness. He had compassion on people and moved to heal them. And Jesus always receives us, and he never, ever rejects us when we are humble and come to him. And so this character trait is something we need to have in our life. When we show tenderness to people, they'll see that we're approachable. You ever feel like someone's not approachable? Usually it's because they're not showing love and kindness. Or you feel like you're going to be rejected. They're going to judge you. Okay? Don't do those things to people. If someone offers the olive branch of reconciliation, I saw this prophetic word, the Brownsville Revival? And who was the main pastor there? Can anybody help me? It wasn't the evangelist, it was the main pastor. Anyway, he spoke this word, and he was talking about this is the year of, and he just named off all these things that are awesome things that are happening because you were mistreated, and I felt it in my spirit, it was for me. And at the very end of this prophetic word, he said, and your job is, I mean, he could have said anything, but this is what he said. If someone offers you an olive branch to reconcile, you need to take it. sometimes we just like to hold a grudge and get mad. It's my right. If you already knew what they did to me, what they said. Okay, but seriously, that's what God wants us to do. Don't push away somebody who wants to reconcile with you. Our job is not to be in the demolition business. Our job is encouraging and building up others. What good is there to knocking others down with our words or action? Absolutely nothing. Knocking someone down, even if they truly did something wrong to us, shows how unstable, selfish, and immature we are as Christians. Ouch. Showing love and kindness brings healing and reconciliation, and showing love and kindness is doing what Jesus did. Right? Number 8. Selfishness cannot have its way or reconciliation won't happen. So that word selfishness means lacking consideration for others, concerned chiefly with one's own personal profit or pleasure. And Wikipedia says, self-interest or self-concern, it is the act of placing one's own needs or desires above the needs or desires of others. That's being selfish. I want to put self-absorbed. Only thinking about yourself, that's same things, right? Okay. If we are always concerned about our own pleasure or gain, we will eventually live a lonely life, and we will always hurt somebody. We will push away all those close to us. Remember that all sin is selfish. But you know what else about sin? There's some kind of pleasure in sin, or we wouldn't do it. Okay? And pleasure satisfies the self, the flesh. So just remember, being selfish is very much like that. We never sin for someone else. With this in mind, being selfish is a road that leads to destruction. It will destroy your life, and it will destroy the lives of those close to you. Now, I think I'm going to sin for Pastor Jenny today. I'm going to sin for ourselves. When you feel the most resistance to give in, just do it. You will relax and feel free afterwards. You will be glad you did for the benefit of the one you love. Giving in doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're right and you're wrong. It's just saying, I value this relationship so much, I'm ready to humble myself and let my selfishness fall down. And and say yes, dear. Okay.
Happy wife, happy life.
You better be careful. You got to live with her tonight. So, okay. Number 9, we're almost done. Give mercy and grace to the one who offended you. No one is perfect, including you. So, God gives us mercy and grace all the time. Lamentations 3:21-23 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I hope, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Remember, we're giving mercy and grace to people. How many need mercy and grace in your life?
Amen.
Yeah.
Double portion.
I need God to show his mercy and grace to me on a constant basis. And without it, I am lost. And this is what we need to do with others. Allow people to make mistakes. Nobody's perfect, right? And so we aren't either. We would like that to be given to us. Let's give it to other people. And number 10, release the offender. Holding on to the offense and rehashing it in your mind will only torment you. It doesn't bring anything good. It only causes stress and high blood pressure. Holding the hurt in your hands is not releasing it. It will not bring positive change. We can cast this person onto the Lord because God is concerned with what concerns us. And just thinking about that, when we release the offender, I just think about Jesus hanging on the cross for a minute, okay? And think about his wounds. You know, we love thinking about the resurrection and that he's alive, okay? But let's think about what he did on the cross and the stripes, the whippings. And someone was showing me this about some people in my life. And I needed some really supernatural healing, brother. And they were showing me this, and I had my eyes closed, and my head was just pressed into this woman's shoulder. And they said, "Do you see Jesus on the cross?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Do you see his wounds?" I said, "Yes." They said, "Are they three-dimensional?" "Yes, I see him." Then they said, "Take the person and put them into his wounds." Because what Jesus did on the cross is not only for our sins, but for the sins that were committed to us. Right? And what Jesus did is complete. It's not lacking anything. So I have a hard time sometimes forgiving someone. So if I place them into his wounds, he took it. He took the pain, my pain, that I'm experiencing because of this hurt that this person has bestowed on me. Right? And when I got up from that person leaning on their shoulder, I could have sworn I would have blood all over me because I felt like I was pressed into Jesus and just putting myself there even. Okay? But what Jesus did on the cross is complete. We can forgive and we can release the offender. We can cast all of our cares on the Lord. And so I hope that helps you. It helps me every time when I think of the things that people have done. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." Here's another one about cast. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And so that word cast really got my attention. And the word cast literally means to throw out, down, or away. Adventure, cast, away, down, forth, off, out, hurl, or pluck. So I can actually, I'm a visual person. Remember, I've written many dramas and stuff. So I can actually see me taking my care and just chucking it. Okay? Casting it on the Lord. He's just waiting there with the catcher's mitt anyway. Okay? He wants you to cast it on him. We are invited to do this or throw our cares away from us and onto God. And God is bigger than anything we are facing. And then the very last thing to reconciliation is place it in God's hands. You know, you've done your part. You've tried. There's been several times I've gone to people and asked for their forgiveness, taken the high road. You take this and you've got this. It's like wrapping up this present of asking forgiveness. You know, you just wrap it up and you hand it to that person. Okay, now it's up to them if they want to open it up, right? And so, but once you've done your part, and here it is, you pray they open it up. There's a few times when the person didn't open it up. And I'm like, "God." But God, I just leave it in your hands, God. And I know the same Holy Spirit that's working on my heart is working on their heart, right? Especially if they're Christian, right? So you just place it in his hands. There's always hope for change. There is always hope for reconciliation. And when we place others in God's hands, it frees us to trust that they are being taken care of better than we could ever do. So we just ask for forgiveness. They didn't seem like maybe they received it. You did your part. It's not to say, "Well, I did my part." No. Bathe in prayer, and it's in God's hands. You are going to be amazed at what God does. Okay? Remember that reconciliation is a process. It takes time for relationships to mend. And God and time will heal all wounds if we allow it. You can be the reason reconciliation is not happening. Lay down your will and allow God to work. Make sure you do your part in the reconciliation process. So all of this said about relationships. Remember, relationships are a two-way street. Don't always expect to receive. Look beyond yourself and give as well. See the needs of others. Be willing to lay your needs, desires, and wants aside for the sake of being interested in others. Believe it or not, it is not all about you, right? When it comes to relationships. And here's the last thing. Proverbs 27:9 in the Message says, "Just as lotions and fragrance give sensual delight. A sweet friendship refreshes the soul. And so that's my prayer for you, that you find someone who refreshes your spirit. And when you are down, they'll pick you up. Allow God to show his desires when it comes to building and maintaining relationships. After all, he created us for relationships. And he is the master of all relationships, isn't he? That's why we can run to him. Amen. Let's pray. God, we cast our cares on you. And we know that you were there to catch them. And you just get rid of them. You just take care of them, Lord. All the above. God, we want to be friendly. And we want to be able to have friendships and relationships, healthy relationships. Heal the things in our life that need to be healed. Lord, that we would be willing to say, take it, take it. I don't want it anymore. And God, that supernaturally you would heal us. And Lord, I pray if anybody's here that has a relationship that has gone sour, Lord, if you're pricking their heart to be able to try to do their part, Lord, I pray you give them strength and wisdom. Let your love pour through into them and to the other person. And I pray the miracle of reconciliation would happen. Thank you, God, for tonight. And thank you that the best relationship ever is our relationship with you. We love you, Lord. And we don't want to do anything that doesn't please your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, go forth and conquer, okay? Get a mint or a gum.
Theophostic training. You know what that is?
Mm-mm.
You don't know what that is?
A plastic training?
Theophostic.
Huh?
Oh, it's really cool. That's you were touching on that.
Okay. All right.
This is going back in your past to find my face. Jesus removed them, taking the lie out.
Mm-hmm.
And